On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You may recall Governor Evers formed a task force back in July to address broadband access. We're checking in on this 25-member group that is tackling these longstanding connectivity issues in our state. They've had several meetings. We'll meet again Wednesday. And last month, the governor directed more than $5 million in federal CARES Act funding to go toward expansion of high-speed internet. So what is internet access like in your part of the state? Is it reliable? Can you do virtual schooling or work from home with your connection? We're at 800-642-1234. Brittany Beyer is Executive Director of Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation. She chairs the Task Force on Broadband Access. Brittany, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me back.
So tell us what your task force has been doing since it first met 2 months ago.
So we met in August at the very end of the month, and you did mention that we're going to be meeting on this week, actually on Wednesday. So a lot of research has been done at this point. We actually created an immediate solutions working group as well, and that's met twice. So we're kind of working through five topic areas as well. Our meeting on Wednesday is going to be talking about what are the opportunities, what type of innovation do we need inside of our system, and then we're going to go from there.
I was watching your last meeting in early October with your solutions working group. That's the breakout of the larger group. And you asked, what are the low-hanging fruit? What can be addressed more easily than other things? What did you learn?
The low-hanging fruit, we would love it just to be easy to connect people into the whole entire system. I think a low-hanging fruit is making sure that we're working with the different agencies. So the DPI came up a lot because they've been doing some really great survey work and making sure that they know what all of the families need as far as connectivity. And if we use that as part of the mapping way forward, we've got a huge contingency inside of the state. They've been doing such great work in making sure that all students have access. So that's a leap forward in making sure that we can get everyone connected.
So in terms of the research you're doing, you're also, I'm sure, keeping an eye on the funding that is coming available, grants, both state and federal. What role does the $5 million in federal CARES Act funds, what will that have on your work?
Well, every grant that's going to the work in the state is going to be helping to close that gap, right? And that work really has to happen pretty quickly from what I understand. And that just couples on with the $48 million in the last budget that the governor awarded. The next round, the $24 million, is actually open right now. So there's just over and over again, just layering on those support mechanisms. We know that our providers need the assistance in order to make sure that we have all of our communities connected.
So what does access to internet look like in rural Wisconsin at this point? Has anything changed?
I would say that, again, pointing at the DPI, because with COVID-19...
Department of Public Instruction.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Too many acronyms. Mm-hmm. We know that they're really working on making sure that kids are connected. We know that our hospitals are doing much more telemedicine. That doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is still connected. I think we still have a great deal of work that we have to do. Our next steps are going to be coming up from the task force pretty soon, and then we'll go on another round of research and then make sure that we have some plan going forward.
We're discussing high-speed internet access in Wisconsin with the chair of Governor Evers' Task Force on Broadband Access. We have Brittany Beyer. She's executive director of Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation. What are your questions for this task force? What should they be working on? What questions, what things, problems in your community should they work to solve? What grants are you going after, and has your community been successful? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Brittany, your group is looking at the rural electrical co-op model. About 100 of the 900 or so rural electric co-ops in our country offer some form of broadband. That's according to the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. So how do you get co-op fiber projects off the ground in Wisconsin?
I think we need to make it affordable, and we need to make sure that we have the leadership behind. You know, we were discussing that topic, obviously, in the immediate solutions group. And, you know, although electric co-ops are taking a lead inside of it, you know, one of the things to think about is electric is very different from running a broadband service. So we need to make sure that the companies are ready to do that to be successful. So that was something that was a huge takeaway inside of that. If that's part of the model going forward, we need to have some blueprint and a plan to help the communities do that.
Well, communities like Reedsburg and Wapaka built and provided their own internet infrastructure. They provide the service. Is this an option going forward for other rural communities?
It's an option, and we have hundreds of different providers. You know, so that's the next part of it as well, is having a really robust conversation with the whole kind of structural map that's inside of the state. You know, there's places where you know, we could probably incentivize getting fiber to more people. We just need to have that kind of plan going forward. We could be supporting electric co-ops where that's the right decision. I think we just need more work on that, and that's what the task force hopes to do by the time that we have that report due in June.
Let's bring in John now, joining us from Menominee. Hi, John.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
So I have, I live in the country and not very far from town. I have cable going right past my house, and it actually has a box that terminates on my property. But the cable company says my driveway is too long, and so they won't bring it to my house, even though I've tried a couple times. And one time they told me that I could possibly get it if I would spend $7,000 to bury a wire and then for the pleasure of paying them every month for the normal fee. And so then even if the cable comes past your house, some of us out there still aren't able to get it because of the distance between the road and the house. And that's going to continue to be a problem unless we somehow address that issue as well.
John, thank you.
You're right.
Yeah, Brittany, go ahead.
Well, I think that's not an uncommon problem. So I think there needs to be a strategy behind that, right? So if it's the community understanding that that's part of the problem, how can we put in a system where there is some sort of, like incentive, or the community has a little bit of money that's set aside so that that can be done? Not an uncommon problem, but we just need a better strategy to help people get through that.
Do you find that having a 25-member task force, you're learning new things for this task force to work on? Or have there been anything that surfaced that was out of the blue or new?
I don't know if anything was out of the blue. I've been doing a lot of research on what's happening in other states. So some of, actually Wisconsin has the pool of grants that's actually much more than some states have. So we're fortunate in some cases, and then we have a lot of work to do in other cases. What's been really exciting is just listening to what's happening in other states and try to figure out how that fits inside of the Wisconsin model.
We're checking in on the governor's task force to address broadband access. Brittany Beyer chairs it. She's executive director of Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation. How do you want the state to expand broadband? Should the priority be on assistance for residential or commercial customers? What do you think? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in on the governor's task force on broadband access that was formed in July. According to the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, Wisconsin is behind the national average in connectivity. The problem is more acute in rural areas. Here's the governor earlier this month.
The COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way we learn, work, access health care, and connect with our loved ones. making broadband access perhaps one of the most important investments we can make.
How important is high-speed internet to your family or job? Have you noticed any new improvements or changes with more funding and grants in the pipeline? Join in at 800-642-1234. The chair of the governor's task force, Brittany Beyer, stays with us. So, Brittany, you have been looking at what other states are doing. The Badger Project reported that Minnesota has spent $255 million for broadband expansion between 2013 and 2019, and that was possible in part because providers had to match some of those funds. Where does Wisconsin stand on this?
Well, every single grant that's inside of the state of Wisconsin for broadband does have to have some sort of a match. If it comes from the company or if it comes from a community, that's certainly part of our mapping forward. So that's part of it. I think there's room for improvement. I think we also know that so much work has to be done, and it has to be in partnership. So I'll also say that the Broadband Connectors Pilot, that is a partnership between the Public Service Commission and Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to support communities. There's six in this first pilot. I think that's also somewhere that where we're going to see some real movement in getting some of these communities ready to be at the table in solving their own local problems.
Yeah, so six communities were selected this month for this new Broadband Connectors Pilot Program. What will this program do?
It is going to allow local communities who don't necessarily have the technical expertise to kind of put together these programs to be able to approach a provider and then set up a plan. You know, the other part of this is that it's, you know, broadband and fiber laying and whatever fixed wireless, it takes years and years to map this out and do. So having a 3 to 5 year plan on broadband is something that a lot of the communities don't have, and this will be a way to move these communities forward.
And the pilot program is intended to help WEDC and the Public Service Commission to better understand what communities are facing out there with their technical needs.
Yeah.
You know, what is a mystery at this point in terms of the technical assistance that these communities need?
I would say I don't think there's a mystery. I think there's a desire for local municipalities to solve these problems. They just don't have the resources. So how do we match some of these state resources with local communities in a way that's positive and it makes the work happen and it activates our local communities? You know, I almost think this is a wash, rinse, and repeat type of situation. It's going to work on broadband. It could work on workforce housing. There's a lot that can be done with having this direct technical assistance.
We're talking with Brittany Beyer, chair of Governor Evers' Task Force on Broadband Access. What is the situation for high-speed internet where you are? Are your kids learning from home? What problems are you seeing with internet connection or with the way that you're able to connect with classes and teachers, with work? 800-642-1234. So state law requires municipalities to find a private partner in order to get a grant for broadband expansion. And some critics are saying that this could allow private companies to block municipalities from breaking up a monopoly. What do you see there?
That's a hard and tough question. I think we need to see more partnerships and better communication between the providers and local communities. It's a cost problem over and over again, and it's a communication problem. And so I think, again, technical assistance and being able to have communities ready at the table with these providers and say, here's the map, here's the work that we've done, let's figure out a solution together. I think that's one of the ways to move forward. Is it going to be with a utility, a local utility? That's one map forward. Is it going to be with a larger provider? That's another map forward. We just need more communication and have a mapping of what's happening so that we have a strategy for those places that are unserved.
Is that really what your task force wants to do here, is to get the mapping going so that you really know what you need to do to make these connections?
Well, in a certain sense, there is a mapping. So,
okay.
Right, so the FCC map does exist, and the PSE has really great layering systems on top of that. When you want to get to granular information, the FCC maps are not up to par. And that's where we're in this kind of quasi-misunderstood area. The FCC mapping does have to be improved. They are working on that. But there are some strategies that can be done to move forward. Again, DPI's survey is part of that, and then we will be able to figure out what's going on top of that. I think some states have this strategy of knowing exactly who's unserved, and then moving forward from there. And I'm hoping that we can get the task force to that point. I would also say that it's really important to know how integral broadband is to the whole entire agency system at the state level. Every single agency has something to do with broadband, and having a really, really in-depth understanding of how each of one interacts with broadband, that's going to help us move forward.
Let's bring in Bob now in Milwaukee. Hi, Bob.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What do you see as far as broadband?
Well, I don't have broadband. I'm calling to you on my smartphone. If I want to use data, I go out to a local large institution that has or a business that has free Wi-Fi, and I turn it on. I'm a low income person, can't afford to have. But the least expensive I see now is $420 a year plus a hard drive fee.
Yeah. Brittany, what are the access barriers in terms of cost?
Affordability is definitely part of the issue, especially when you're thinking about education and learning and access to healthcare, right? So a better strategy along the lines of that needs to be thought out too. I'm sure a lot of people know that there's a program called Lifeline at the federal level, and there is a match inside of the state with that program. But that is something that the task force has to pay attention to because of situations like Bob's.
What does Lifeline do?
Lifeline gives you, I think it's about $9 a month towards a connection. So if it's a cell phone or if it's broadband, you get $9 off the cost of that. Now, some states, like Oregon, have a really robust match at this point. And so, you know, you're looking at that kind of layered assistance on that side. I can't tell you what we would suggest from the task force level at this point, but affordability is absolutely part of the problem.
Let's bring in Julie in Allentown. Hi, Julie.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I actually have a question and a comment. I guess I'll start with my comment because that'll let you know where we're going. So we are a family that lives in the country. I have four children in the school district. And to say the least, so during the COVID stuff, this has been an absolute barrier to education for us because we do not have broadband access. You know, and earlier in the year when all the libraries were closed, it was next to impossible for us to get their schoolwork done. That being said, I'm just curious as to the task force, like if they're going to be setting any kind of like priority list as far as how they're addressing, you know, the little guys like us that, you know, don't necessarily live in a huge community.
Sure. Yes. So, Julie, you're definitely not alone in that situation. We need a strategy about how to get to the completely unserved, and I think that's part of where we want to go. Also, you know, you mentioned the libraries and schools. Well, those are considered anchor institutions, and all of our anchor institutions are wired and connected at this point. So how do we push those connections out from there for our communities? That's something that we're looking at, and you're absolutely right, and I'm so sorry that you're having these issues with education, but you're right, it's a barrier, and we need to do better.
Brittany, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brittany Beyer is Executive Director of Grow North Regional Economic Development Corporation based in Rhinelander. She chairs Governor Evers' Task Force on Broadband Access. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Wisconsin's Revenue Secretary Peter Barca. What questions do you have about the most recent revenue estimates amid the pandemic and what that means for tax bills coming due? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with the head of the Department of Revenue, Peter Barca, right after this news update. Stay with us. More State Cap on the Ideas Network.